Recording in progress.
Hi, Stephanie.
just checking to see if my closed captions are working, and they are. Yay! Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we do. Three out of five is a forum, but Neil's going to be here. He's obviously just running.
Yeah, you can.
Susan is not with me here. Her mother-in-law passed away.
Oh.
And so they're somewhere.
She still had a mother-in-law?
They're in Colorado.
In Colorado.
I know.
But she said she was 100 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
So part of the... Oh.
Okay, we're going to call our meeting to order. Thanks for coming today, and we need a roll call.
Susan Fowler. Neil Sharma. Kim Fisher.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Vicki Nicewander.
Here. And next up is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. It's you and me, girl.
Vicki, your microphone.
Okay, I'll switch to the other one. We'll see if that one's better. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, let's move on to, let's see, citizen input. Do we have any of that? Okay. Nobody on Zoom either? How many folks on Zoom, by the way? A few.
12.
12, okay.
Including me.
So okay, 11. You don't count. Okay, moving on. I really don't have any comments today, so we'll just move on to the executive director's comments.
I also don't have any comments.
Okay. Approval of minutes.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Any changes needed? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? No. Okay. Oh, gosh, where are we? Vendor invoice list. We need a motion to approve the
move
vendor.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
You got a system going here. Thanks.
We do.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, staff reports. Any questions for staff on their reports at all? Nope.
Yay, staff.
Yay, staff. You do a great job.
Second that.
That's right.
They were great.
New business, agency responses to staff review of fiscal year 2026 funding requests. This is just for information. Anybody have comments or questions about that? Okay.
So I just have a quick question. So the DSC, I think one of the major issues was DSC's reporting of having a profit or, reserve funds. So I just wanted to clarify with Chris, just like whether or not that answer is sufficed. Because I think what we were, I understand, like, you know, they are talking a little bit about keeping a profit just to advance some of the programs.
It's not profit.
Well, that's what they use in the letter.
Oh, is it?
They use that language. That's why I'm bringing it up. Yeah. So I just, from your perspective, does that suffice? Because I think what we were saying is, could some of the costs be covered by some of this extra funds, which they call profit, but isn't necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah, we were fine with their response. The key in their response was that they weren't keeping any of our funds as the surplus. So that's the main thing that we're concerned about.
Okay, thanks.
And I think if they were fully staffed, that extra, you know, overage wouldn't be there either. So, okay. Any other questions? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, then, moving on. 12B, allocation of funding for IDD programs.
Is it locked?
Yeah, it didn't get unlocked in the...
Okay, this is...
Well, that's a problem.
Is there a door stop to just prop it?
That door is now propped open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's not... We don't really need to close it because there's no one... in the offices behind there anymore anyway?
Thank you, Patty.
Thanks.
I just didn't want to say this.
Yeah, we don't want to exclude people. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, so allocation of funding is, that's our voting, right? Okay, so let's go to, let's see, where does it start? Page 51. We covered the first 50 pages in
what? That's
amazing.
Yay. Welcome.
Just in time.
Yeah, we're just ready to start on the voting. Oh, no. Well, you're a doctor. Did you take care of her?
I realize we shouldn't have gotten the food last night.
Okay, let's see here. Where are we? 53 is where it starts. Okay. All right. The first grant up for consideration is on the bottom of page 53, the CCRPC Community Services Decision Support PCP. Yeah.
I move to approve the CCDDB funding for $425,042 for CCRPC Community Services Decision Support PCP, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion on this one? All those in favor say aye. You have
maybe.
One? Oh, roll call on
any,
all of them. Okay.
Discussion on this one?
Do you yeah, any questions? Discussion.
Okay.
All right, ready for the roll call then.
We are.
Susan Fowler. Neil Sharma.
Here.
You're voting.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sorry.
But you
so
are
sorry.
Here, which we're glad of.
I haven't had my fifth cup.
Anne Robin.
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander. Mine just went.
Yours went off too, huh? Okay. All right. Next up is DSC service coordination.
You want to read it?
Sure. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $500,000 for DSC service coordination, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
And we'll need a second.
Second.
Any questions on this one? All those in favor say... Oh, that's right. Jeez, I'll get used to it by the end. I'll have it. Okay, every single one. You're right.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Susan Fowler? Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. The autism program at UIUC is next up.
Unfortunately, this one was set up for denial, so I will make the motion, and that motion is to deny CCDDB funding for $87,186 for the autism project at UIUC, the autism program UIUC, subject to caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
And we'll need a second.
No, yeah, the light has to be on, and mine isn't either.
So,
there you go.
Okay, a second.
Any questions on this one? Yes.
Yeah, I think we need to have just a brief public discussion about this, because denying is an unusual thing for this board to do. And there is public record of difficulties with the reporting and accounting of the autism project, which...
No, it's a different...
Oh, this is a different
This is, yeah, okay. The autism program at the university.
Okay, then we need to clarify that is not the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Let's clarify that.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's a different organization.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your reason that...
Your mic is off.
These things are just, they're allowing us 30 seconds max.
Yeah,
and that's it.
It's the message
okay.
is clear.
So can we briefly review the reasons that this is being recommended for denial?
The application was incomplete, not in ways that couldn't be fixed. So there's also... It was incomplete and also relied on not using the eligibility requirement, which the DD board has adopted into its own requirements from state statute. You could change your eligibility requirements to match what they wanted to do, but that hasn't been done yet. That would be done through the priorities process. They made an interesting case for doing that. So I think it brings something to the table for you to work on in the next season, potentially. But there were things missing from the application. So that's why there's a little italicized note underneath it that if you wanted to, you could ask this agency to revise their application during this year. Like, instead of waiting for the next application season, you could say, please revise this to fully meet the requirements, and then we'll discuss it. And you would have, potentially, if you have more money to allocate, you would have a reason for them to do it. So, but we're not to that point in the year yet where we even know that. So straightforwardly, denial is just based on it's an incomplete application and doesn't conform to the eligibility requirements.
Thank you for that clarification.
Okay, so yes, you had a question.
I'm sorry. Can I add one more thing too? Would be helpful for this application is a clarification of the fringe benefits. What do they mean by 45.86% of the salary is associated to the fringe benefits of the associate assistant director? So that was a little bit unusual compared to most standard benefit packages. So some clarity would be nice.
So I've added that to my notes, and since it's part of this discussion, after you've made a motion, we can make sure that that's included in the list of things that you would want to see done differently. Okay.
Are we ready for a vote? We'll do a roll call.
Neil Sharma.
Approved.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Approved.
Vicki Nicewander.
Yes. Okay, moving on to community choices, inclusive community support. And I'll read this one. I'll take my turn. All right. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $233,000 for Community Choices, Inc. inclusive community support, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement. Is there a second?
Second.
Are there questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander.
Yes. All right, moving on to DSC Community Living. Who would like to read this one? Neil, want to take a turn?
Sure. So
that's on the bottom of 56.
Yeah. This is a motion to approve the CCDDB funding of $628,000 for the DSC Community Living, subject to the caveats as presented in the memorandum. Anyways, to authorize the CCDDB executive board and board officer to execute the agreement.
Is there a second?
A second.
Any questions on this one? Roll call, please.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. All right. Moving on to Community Choices Transportation Support.
So I'll do that one. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $243,000 for Community Choices Incorporated Transportation Support, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
I'll second that one. Any questions? All right.
Roll Neil call. Sharma.
Oh. Approved.
Okay. Ann Robin?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander. Vicki Nicewander.
Yes. All right. Where are we? We're at DSC Clinical Services. Yes. Okay.
These are not easy to read, by the way.
Sorry.
No, they're just. Yeah.
So you have served on this board or the mental health board long enough to remember when we did offer more simple motions. But
that's all right.
Per a training with some municipal attorneys, I added the second part.
It's fine. It's just, it's a tongue twister.
I know.
All of us are having trouble with it.
But if,
it's okay. But like I'm not complaining.
I really should stay away from attorneys, though.
I'm
they
just
going
to have to slow down and talk slower so I can get my mouth around all these words.
I appreciate your care, because if we have made a typo in the number, the dollar amount, or if you make a mistake and reading it into the record, that is the amount we have to live with.
Well, let's get the dollar amount
also
correct.
Also, we said
then.
$2,600,000. Okay.
The dollar amount is the most important thing. Yes. This is a motion to approve CCDDB funding for $263,000 for DSC Clinical Services, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
I'll second that one. Any questions? Roll call, please.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. Moving on to DSC Individual and Family Support, I'll take a stab at this one. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $320,000 for DSC Individual and Family Support, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement. We'll need a second.
I'll second.
Any questions on this one? Roll call, please.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. Okay, moving on to the PACE proposal. Who would like to take that one?
I can take it. This is a motion to approve CCDDB funding of $45,972 for Pearson assuming control of their environment, PACE, consumers control and personal support, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
And a second, please.
I'll second.
Any questions? Roll call.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. Okay, moving on to the Parkland College District 505, Parkland College OT at Head Start West. This particular one is also being denied by the board for roughly the same reasons that the other one was denied. So the motion is to deny CCDDB funding of $70,959 for Parkland College District 505, Parkland College OT at Head Start West, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Second.
Questions? Yes.
Yeah, once again, this is unusual for us to deny funding, and as I read this proposal, it sounds like something that I would support and that the community needs, and it's a collaborative agreement, and it sounds really good. The problem is this board, as I understand it, the problem is this board has fiduciary responsibility for county tax money, and this just doesn't fit the criteria the way that things are set up, so we are obligated to deny it, even though we think it's a good idea. And I like this note at the bottom that things could be possibly worked out later in the year. So I just want to go on record saying, yay, good idea. I'm really sorry that it doesn't fit the criteria.
Yeah, I think that's probably the feeling of many people, certainly us.
One other caveat I'd like to add, too, is that I agree. This is a great service. Every school should have this. One thing when I was reviewing that was there are a lot of other sources for to support that program as well. So, yeah.
May I? Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit different from the case of the other application in that the eligibility question is that there should be some clarification of eligibility per there is no other available pay source.
Correct.
Because you all identified a few potential pay sources. So it's I don't think it would require a board discussion or a change in the board's requirements so much as it would require the agency to present you something slightly different.
Correct. Okay. Absolutely. So it's just more of like the Medicare, Medicaid enrollment and stuff like that. And so it's a great idea, but I think they can also optimize other sources, and then they can see what remains.
Any other comments or questions? All right, then let's have a roll call.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. All righty, where are we? Priority work life, community choices, customized employment.
I can do that one. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $256,000 for Community Choices Incorporated customized employment, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
I'll second that one. Any comments or questions? Roll call.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. All right. Moving on to DSC community employment. We need a motion
I'll
reader.
I'll do that one. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $523,000 for DSC community employment, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
Second. You just turned it off. You just turned it off again.
Second.
Yeah. Will we get new microphones when you move to the other building? Oh, well, you know. That. Okay. All right. Where are we? I lost track.
Yeah, 61.
Discussion.
Oh, discussion, yes. We have a motion and we have a second. Do we have any questions or comments? All right. Roll call, please.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. Okay, moving on to Community Choices Self-Determination Support. Is that where we are? I think so.
Employment first.
Oh, yeah. Yes, employment first. You're right. Yeah, we don't want to skip any. That's for sure.
I can read it. Motion to approve the CCDDB funding of $102,500 for DSC Community Choices Employment First, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Second.
Any questions? Roll call, please.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. We're still on. I can't believe it. Okay, moving on to Community Choices and Self-Determination Support again. Ann, you want to take this one?
Sure, I'll take this one. This is a motion to approve the CCDDB funding of $228,000 for Community Choices, Inc. self-determination support, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
I'll second.
Any questions
or comments on this one? Roll call, please.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. Moving on to DSC Community First. I can take this one. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $990,000 for DSC Community First, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement. We need a second.
Second.
Any questions or comments on this one? Roll call, please.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. DSC Connections. Who wants to take that one? Kim? Neil's got it? Okay.
A motion to approve the CCDDB funding of $122,000 for the DSC connections, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive board director and board officer to execute the agreement.
I'll second.
Questions or comments on this one? Roll call, please.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. All right, moving on. Another one for Community Choices, their staff recruitment and retention grant. And the motion is to approve CCDDB funding of $48,000 for Community Choices staff recruitment and retention, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement. We'll need a second.
Second.
Questions or comments on this? Yes.
I just have a comment that I just want to put on the public record, that this is innovative and much needed in a lot of places, so I just want to compliment them on their good work.
Okay. Anything else? Roll call, please.
Ann Robin?
Yes. Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. DSC Family Development. Who would like to read that one?
I can do that one. Motion to advise the Champaign County Mental Health Board to use $702,000 of IDDD set aside funds per year for a 2-year term for DSC Family Development.
You turned it.
Second.
I keep doing the same thing too, yeah. So that's not a big deal. Any other questions or comments on this one? Roll call.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. Okay, we're getting to the weird ones, you said? Okay, all right. So this is a motion to authorize the executive director to conduct contract negotiations as specified in this memorandum, which we have said in every grant so far. So,
second.
Any comments or questions on that? Do we need roll call on this one too? It's sure, why not? We're on a roll.
Yeah, maybe.
Money's important. Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Neil Sharma.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander.
Yes. Yes. Okay, next one is a motion to authorize the executive director to implement contract maximum reductions as described in this memorandum. We need a second for that motion.
I'll second.
Any questions or comments there? Roll call, please.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
It always goes off right before I have to talk. Yes. Okay, last one, I believe. This is a motion to include in all fiscal year?
Program year.
PY 2026 contracts, the provisions for specific exceptions to funding requirements and guidelines as described in this memorandum. We need a second.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander.
Yes. All right. Now going to old business. Well, that was quick and easy, wasn't it? Yay. Congratulations to all of you. I know. It is kind of fun to give away money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Best part of the year. So do good things with it. continue to do good things and expand on those good things. By the way, I did want to say that I loved some of the examples and stories that you have given about the good work that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Keep doing better. You know, don't settle for what is really good. Just keep stretching yourself. So thank you for all of that. All right, so where are we with the input from people with DD?
Oh, that's right. We didn't have anything written to bring to you, so it seems like it's an opportunity if there are people with DD present or if they've asked someone to speak on their behalf to get their input into the record.
There might not be anybody wanting that. On Zoom, maybe? Mm-mm. Anybody with a hand raised? Mm-mm. Okay. But this is going to be in the agenda each and every time, or just when we don't have other...
This is the chair's prerogative.
Oh, I can't make that decision right now.
Okay.
Okay, I'm making the decision to move on to response to emerging threats.
And... Again, we didn't include any printed emerging threats, but they're in the inbox every day. So I figured this could be a robust discussion point anyway.
It could be. All right.
Actually, it was an article that was presented in Bloomberg. I'll forward you guys the article. It was actually about the pay disparities of people with DD in the workforce. Mm-hmm. And so it was significant. And so I think it's something that when I see like all these organizations, especially with the employment thing, to really advocate for equal pay. So it was disturbing to see that trend.
Yeah. I think at this point, many people are just advocating for employment in general.
Correct.
You know, I think Illinois is at somewhere in the neighborhood of 3% of people with DD who have actual jobs. Wow. It compared to other states where they're 80-90% of people who have paid jobs. So we have a long way to go.
Correct.
Thank you, employment people.
Yeah.
Keep working at it.
I have something really quick.
Sure.
So the 504 case, I think I sent something to Kim. So the 504 case was kind of pulled for, so the threat for against 504 is not necessarily there, but they're still they're revising the lawsuit so that it would actually address or take away rights from people who are transgender, which was kind of a major sticking point in the lawsuit. So there is still more advocacy that needs to be done related to saving Section 504. And then the other piece is, you know, 1 a.m. This morning, there was debate on the in the Congress on Medicaid. And I think just recently, like some additional reports have come out with the actual cuts to Medicaid, which I think was around $500 billion, is it that? Or million, is it? I should have checked before I came. But anyway, so... Continued advocacy is needed for Medicaid, SNAP, and now Medicare, actually, I think is on the cutting block as well.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. And I think that Section 504 is still at a bit of risk because what my understanding was that they were going after changes that the Biden administration had made during that last term.
Yes, so which included gender dysphoria as a disability, right?
Yeah.
So they're still exactly. So they're still going after
they're going
that,
after that part
right?
Of it
but they and, yeah. did say like, oh, we don't want to, we don't mean to negate Section 504 entirely. We just want to focus on this one piece. At least that's my understanding. Yeah. So it is definitely still in danger. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't have a report on Engage Illinois. They're continuing to meet and expand their focus, but it was, nothing of note, really. Paula, do you want to speak?
Yes.
Okay. Go for it.
maybe it's it, but you showed on page.
Yes, we did, and it passed.
Okay. Thank you.
You sure? Was that
Sally?
It? Oh, that's okay. Yeah, that was an important one for you.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, we're moving on to evaluation capacity building project update. You have a lot of material in your packet on that one. You're going to share slides on Zoom? Does anybody know how to do that? Is that Lynn? Oh, you've got them? Oh, perfect. There you go.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy hump day. It's great to see everyone. So I'm Jacinda Dariotis. I am director of the Family Resiliency Center. And this is my colleague, Rachel Jackson-Gordon. Do you want to say hello?
Hello. Happy to be here today to talk about our year two report.
Great. So first, we want to start with gratitude and appreciation for the agency staff and leaders who have been participating for the past 2 years and have been very open to having us collaborate with them on their work. And also the working group members who have provided us feedback on a monthly or biweekly basis and have helped to make sure that the work that we're doing is relevant and timely and updated. And also the board members and staff who have been very generous with their feedback and time to make sure that we're all on the same page and working in the same direction. Programs that are participating in the technical assistance who have provided additional time in working with us to move towards their outcomes and updating their processes and procedures. And then funding. Obviously, we're very grateful to the Champaign County Mental Health Boards and Developmental Disability Boards for funding the evaluation and also for their insights and foresight to want to have an empowerment type of evaluation for many years. So just to give an overview of what we're presenting today, we're going to give some context of revisiting some project goals and strategies just to make sure that everyone knows what those were, and then revisiting year one needs assessment takeaways because year two built on those. Then we're going to summarize year two activities, and then we'll talk about some next steps for the next year. And if I go too fast, please ask me to slow down. I tend to speak very quickly. So to go through the context of our project goals and approaches for capacity building and partnering, our overarching goal is really to build the evaluation capacity of funded agencies using participatory and empowerment approaches. So this is really trying to work with the agencies so that they can collect the data that they need, have the outcome measures that they need, the processes for process evaluation as well, so that they can do it with in-house and not have to externalize their evaluation. And to do it in a way we're working with and in collaboration with and then by the agencies over time. So that's what participatory and empowerment means, is with and then having it conducted by the agencies themselves. So our year one goal was really to examine the needs, the strengths, the expectations of for the evaluation team and what we can provide for future activities, and then beginning to move to action, to putting those into action for different trainings and other components. And so then for year two, using the year one needs assessment and ongoing feedback, we engaged in those relevant capacity building activities, both in terms of micro-learnings, technical assistance, as well as trainings and so forth. So approaches, like I talked about with participatory, it's really centering staff voice and multiple perspectives from a holistic understanding. So what is the current capacity? Where does it need to go? What has worked? What needs are remaining? And then empowerment is building on the capacity that currently exists so that the boards and agencies can implement and sustain their practices so that they can engage in continuous learning organizations and can move forward with their evaluation in the best way possible. This is a little schematic for those of you who like visuals. On the left-hand side, we have helicopter science, which is where one swoops in and does for somebody and then swoops out and doesn't give back. Really, the person or entities don't have a lot of say in the design or what's going on, all the way up to the right side, which has community-based participatory research, youth participatory action research, all of the capacity building and empowerment that we're talking about, which is the doing with and by. We're partnering with end users all throughout the entire process to make sure that it's relevant, timely, and it can promote the social change that's needed. This is the model that we've been using that we put in our original proposal, and we continue to revisit every time that we give our report and as we're doing our work. And what it really shows is that in examining current levels of capacity on the left-hand side and trying to move to outcomes is using four different strategies which are really important, including creating tools, trainings, technical assistance, and quality improvement and quality assurance. So just to take this home a little bit more to say what we have done, especially in the last year, in the last year and a half, is we've created tools like the micro-learning videos and updated the measures repository so that this is asynchronous, it can be utilized anytime anyone needs it, and it actually expands beyond the current funded agencies because it's publicly available to anyone who needs it. We've also engaged in trainings where we have workshops, and we've done this with outcome measures, how to develop measures, how to select measures, technical assistance with the selected programs that have been helped to be identified with staff assistance, and then also the quality improvement and quality assurance is working through the different group sessions with our working group, monthly board meetings here to gain feedback on how you're thinking we're doing and things that you think that we could be doing in the future, as well as the staff progress meetings. So we're really engaging in all the four components that have been shown in the empowerment capacity building model to be effective for agencies and others. We conducted a year one needs assessment, and we had 76 different perspectives identifying agency and board strengths and areas for growth, which had informed what the topic areas would be for our micro-learnings and our trainings and any additional resources that we can provide for agencies. So as takeaways from year one, agencies want to be heard, so the participatory approaches for needs and action plans is appropriate. We found that resources in terms of providing needs, improving efficiencies, storytelling proficiency is something that agencies are looking for, as well as the board, and working together. So creating communities of practice, open communication so that the agencies can continue to network and also to continue to build as they move forward in open communication. So now I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, who's going to summarize our year two activities.
All right. So yes, I'm going to talk about what we did during year two of the Empowerment Evaluation Project. And so I'm going to start with a quick overview of what we've done. And it looks like it has popped up. Okay. So the first thing that we worked on was technical assistance with selected agencies. And so this year we worked with three developmental disabilities programs and one mental health board program. And this was focused on individualized support. And then the next piece was a working group where we brought people together from different agencies to talk about evaluation topics, give feedback on the work that we're doing, as well as starting to hopefully shift into more of a community of practice. Trainings and resources. So we, like Jacinda mentioned, the micro-learning videos that our associate director, Dr. Nate Underland, has been working on. And then the last piece, that open communication and informal support to try to make sure that the work that we're doing is transparent and that everyone is aware of the different opportunities that we are working on and have forthcoming.
So with technical assistance, four programs were identified, and the purpose of this was improving understanding of logic models, survey development, survey administration, and data analysis. There are also other skills based on different program needs, so we tried to work individually with these programs to identify ways that are, especially given some of these programs are so uniquely different that a one-size-fits-all doesn't quite work. And so we tried to identify strategies that are more effective for some programs that might not work for others. And so while we have these key skills here, there were also some other things that we developed that we were really excited about. But I'll keep it to the overview for this presentation. And so we did a very brief 7-question evaluation to people participating in the technical assistance. Thank you to everyone who completed the survey. And so we had actually at least one person from every program that we were working with completed the survey, which was awesome. And so everyone that reported in that survey shared that they were likely to use the skills that they developed during technical assistance in the future. And so that was a scale looking at, someone would indicate whether they are not at all likely versus very likely, and everyone indicated on the likely side of the scale. And so this is what our process would look like just generally. We'd start with a kickoff meeting where we tried to start learning about what the program was doing and who the different key players were in the program, and then we would move into logic model development for these programs specifically that didn't have pre-existing logic models. And then we would shift into the development of data collection tools like surveys or a system for sort of creating an inventory for the positive stories coming out of programming, data collection and management, so actually getting the surveys out and learning how to use different tools to do that. And then for some agencies, we shifted into these last two steps of data analysis and reporting purposes. And this is a quote from the survey. Collaboration was strong, appreciated the reciprocal input, which was reflected in the final outcome of the survey tool. And this sort of reflecting one of our goals that the work that we're doing is really relevant to the programs and the agencies who are working with people who need the services. And so this sort of feedback was really helpful for us to see. For the working group, we had representation from 7 agencies during year 2 overall. There were 3 core members who regularly showed up to all of the meetings, which were once to twice a month. And so during these, we would often share our latest training tool or microlearning and get feedback and ask, does this make sense? Is this too high level? Is it too in the weeds? And so all of the products we've created has been through these sort of iterative processes, getting feedback from board staff, getting feedback from the working group, so that, again, our hope is that the materials we put forth are actually useful to as many people as possible. And so the effect of this is that we get that rapid feedback on evaluation products and trainings. And also in the process, one of my favorite parts of this was actually the community building where we, people would share if they're going on fun vacations and some of those elements that, help to sustain processes over time. And we have a quote here. The working group has been valuable in building my knowledge base around logic models. It has changed my mindset and approach to my organization's programs, and I am now better able to contribute to those sorts of discussions. And so this is one of the effects that we had in an informal discussion. We were like, okay, what can we do differently? And this was something that we didn't anticipate hearing, and it was helpful to hear, okay, this is having an outcome that is useful beyond this group and giving us feedback on the materials. And moving on to trainings and resources. So we, during year 2, developed an outcome measurement workshop, and that led to 25 attendees from 18 agencies. And that was focused on how to write good program outcomes and then shifting to, creating awareness and how to navigate the measures repository online. And then also this year, Dr. Underlin completed a 4-part microlearning series on logic models, which has garnered over 800 player impressions since January 25. And I made a note, that means that It's the number of times the video was loaded in a web browser as an indicator of reach. And I had to keep on looking back to what that meant, so I made a note before I came up here. And so we have 6 micro learnings to date with over 1,600 player impressions. And the effect of this is that we're sharing these resources across the funded agencies, but also they're starting to reach other agencies outside of the funded agencies as well with some of the publicly accessibility components. And that's really exciting to us because it's, you know, we want this work to be helpful to a really wide range of individuals and programs and agencies. And we have a video. Do you want me to play this now or? Should we share the sound? Oh, great. All right. And we have, this is our shortest, I think, shortest micro-learning video as a flavor of what we've been working on with a cooking show theme towards the end.
Welcome to this series of short videos about logic models from the Family Resiliency Center. In this video, you will learn what a logic model is, why it matters, and look at the first part of a logic model, inputs. Many people compare a logic model to a roadmap. A logic model can help visualize the step-by-step pathways that lead to program success. It links the resources, activities, and participation of your program to the results that you intend to achieve. In other words, it demonstrates how your intended outcomes will logically follow from a series of outputs, which outputs in turn are a result of a set of resources needed to implement and evaluate a program. You might also say that a logic model is like a recipe for success. Hi, and welcome to Finally, Healthy Recipes for Improving Cholesterol. Today we're going to discuss inputs. Inputs are simply the resources at your disposal. And in the case of creating a television show about baking healthy cookies, inputs might include ingredients, studio time, and staff, like a camera operator or a certain chef.
Hooray!
Great. Okay, so it looks like we're ready to start baking our healthy cookies. I've got nothing to put them on. I forgot to talk about materials. Materials like an oven or a baking sheet. Now we're ready. This is an analogy, but for your agency, inputs might include infrastructure, like physical space or information technology, human resources, like your staff, financial capital or funding, social networks, training, like the necessary professional development of staff, and tangible assets, like computers or other tools. Here are some takeaways in considering the importance of inputs to your program's success. Inputs should be aligned with your program's activities and goals. Consider what you intend to achieve and how, and then ask whether the resources to which you currently have access are sufficient. Do you need more? Inputs should account for program sustainability. Are your resources able to support activities and participation for the program's duration? Or do you expect that you will need to, for example, upgrade your technology in a couple of years? Finally, inputs should be efficient. Is it necessary to ask for funding for every listed resource in order to achieve program success? Consider which resources are a one-time investment, like some materials, and which are ongoing, like staff salaries. Can any resources be borrowed from elsewhere, whether that is space, materials, or volunteer time? Thank you for watching.
I'll let the credits roll. All right, so that was a quick example. Thank you. Dr. Underland is watching, so. All right. So that was not the end of the presentation. If I know the clapping makes it feel a little bit like it, but I have a couple more things to share. So the last piece that I'm talking about is the open communication and informal support that we're hoping to continue providing moving forward. And so we provide monthly updates at these board meetings, monthly progress updates with board staff. And the effect is that hopefully we're moving towards that increasing sentiment that agencies and boards are moving in the same direction. And then we offer our annual report so that there's public accountability and understanding of evaluation at team activities. And so in the report, we talk about ways that we're engaging the feedback that we're getting and trying to continue to tailor the work that we're doing in a way that is useful to agencies. And so moving forward, we're going to continue doing technical assistance. We're going to be developing new trainings. We're trying to evolve the working group into a community of practice. And all this is a quick plea for anyone who wants to be a part of an evaluation working group. We are open, open to joining. And then the last piece that we're hoping to start this year is a pilot of office hours for specific and quick needs where we will we'll trial a system where maybe we have specific time slots that agency staff can sign up for, and if they have a specific quandary that they're trying to navigate with program evaluation, that would be very specific to their needs. And thank you again for letting us do this work. It's a privilege to be working with these agencies.
Thank you very much. That was very well done. I think made it help make it very clear for a lot of people. So the 800, you've had 800 hits on this. People, 800 at least have started watching it, if not completing the whole thing. But are most of those people who are in the program, or are these outsiders as well?
I think that these videos, with the only thing that we can track is how many times it's actually being opened in
a
web browser. So we don't know who it
yeah.
is. We have indication, and we've heard from people that, you know, it's locally concentrated, because we're hearing that, you know, like the United Way has started watching some of the videos. I don't think there's anything else that we can definitively say.
Yeah, at this time, that's the only metadata that we've been able to secure. But we're actually up to 1,600 if you take all six microlearnings into account. So it's 800 for the logic model only microlearnings.
Is it only on your website, or is it a YouTube thing too?
So it is currently housed on our website through our media space through the university, because that helps us to maintain it rather than YouTube. But it's freely accessible, open to everybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
Other questions? Of course.
Does the link that I have put into the agenda take you there? Okay, good.
Yes.
Because, like, I didn't check it. I just dropped it. Okay.
We'll double, triple check it, but I believe it is the active link. So, yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Thank you very much for all your work. We appreciate
thank you.
It. All right, we are at Disability Resource Expo update.
We are still in the planning stages. The date has been set. I think I mentioned that last month, probably the month before, October 18th. Mm-hmm. I do know there is a concern because the MTD is cutting direct service to Marketplace, and our coordinators are in talks with the people at the mall, as well as reaching out to MTD to see if we could at least get some service the day of the expo. We've kind of heard conflicting reasons as to why they're cutting that service. I won't get into that because it's all second, third, fourth hand. But that is a concern, and the expo coordinators are looking into addressing that.
Okay.
It's kind of not directly about the expo, but the expo coordinators are so concerned with this that they would like to make it a bigger issue. So, and I said, you guys are the best writers. Could you put it together and I'll bring it to the boards and to the county board? So
I just have a follow-up. So, Kim, do you know, have you gotten any communication from agencies that are also concerned about this? Because I think that plan is going to be implemented in August or something, but the MTD reroute plan.
I'm not sure. I think it is August. I'm not sure of an exact date. I just happened to stumble upon that information, and I shared it broadly with all of the agencies. So I haven't heard anything directly, but I did share the information about the listening sessions, and I think they had a Zoom meeting where people could provide feedback. And so we haven't heard anything specifically, but we did pass that along.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? All right, let's move on to the next thing. Program activity reports, page 85 to 105. I commented on this earlier that, this is really helpful information for us to see, and we thank you for all the work that you put into it. I know it's not easy to spend your time doing that when you could be serving people instead, so we appreciate it. Third quarter service claims.
Wait, Vicki, data. Really quick.
Yes, of course.
Yes, I totally agree with these reports, but as I do every year, I'm so glad everybody got to go to Comic-Con in Indiana this year. So that was great.
Yeah. Okay. Third quarter service claims data is also included. Anything on that? Moving on to successes and other agency information.
I'll be quick. I'm Becca with Community Choices. I had just a couple things. First, thank you all for the support and the funding. Really appreciate that. So we found out yesterday that somebody just got hired at a business that was actually recently LEAP trained, and so that was very exciting. It's always nice when people stay engaged, and so we were working on a start date for that, but it is Good Judy's Bagels, so if you haven't been there, their bagels are actually very good. And, you know, who doesn't love that? So then I also just wanted to talk quickly. We've been doing our Urban Explorers program over the last few month and a half or so, and we've just been doing some really very fun and exciting things that I just thought I would share. So they did, they visited the Fab Lab and got to make their own like vinyl stickers that they can design and print out, which is like a community resource that people can go to, which is very cool. They did a DJ experience at the IMC where they kind of like learned about how to be a DJ. I'm not sure how you do that, so I could probably learn from them. And they also partnered with some folks at the Skate Shop in downtown Urbana, which I also will not even attempt to say the name of because it's tricky. But they did that, and they kind of were able to sort of like learn about how that works and just were very encouraged into that. It's like it seems to be a very welcoming community. And then I think we probably didn't mention it last month's meeting because it was a long meeting. But the TPC had their parent event in early April, which was very successful. We had two self-advocates and four family members that kind of presented on their experiences sort of navigating the transition into adulthood and looking at what the different ways that that can look for lots of different families and how it can change over time. And so that was a really great event. And so the TPC wrapped up their last meeting of the fiscal year a couple weeks ago. And so we're starting to look at plans for the next year. So I thought I would just share those things. Thanks.
Thank you. Go ahead, Paula.
Last month, Paige Pitts was in Quincy, Michigan, and we gave out information on Tuesday and Friday in the ad pool, and I'm already not month are we in Urdu's a week? Do you eat that new PAT GSW Spatial Lens at Base Body is sick today.
Okay. Thank you very much, Paula. And we have...
Good morning. I just wanted to take a minute to introduce you to Jessie Heckemuller. She is our new Assistant Director for Community Services. So she has taken the position that Jessica McCann was in previously. So I just wanted to introduce her. And then I wanted to just give an update for our Community Life Short-Term Assistance Program. We just had a husband and wife who received services through DSC go to Chicago over this past weekend and do awesome there. They attended a Cubs and White Sox game, went to Shedd Aquarium and the Field Museum, went to the Hancock Building.
Wow.
Yeah, they went all over and used Uber. As far as I know, wonderfully, they learned how to use it before going and were able to get themselves all around and had a great time. So just a brief little thing about that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, then. We are at County Board Input. We haven't seen her.
She's here.
Is she here?
Yeah. I'm here. Hello.
Oh, hi.
I wanted to follow up quickly. I put it in the chat, but we will have new microphones at the Bennett Building.
Yay!
yes, that's one of the reasons the board is moving in towards the later end is the AV setup for those boardrooms. And I believe you'll still be meeting in the same boardroom that the county board meets in. So, yes, we will have a new AV setup. The only other thing I wanted to say, I don't have anything to report from the board, but thank you for allowing me to observe the budget allocation process. I appreciate all the thought that went into it and getting to see all the work that you've done and getting to see all the agencies that will benefit from it. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, we are at Champaign County Mental Health Board Input. They're meeting tonight.
Yeah, they're meeting tonight. It was originally going to be a study session, but because they want to talk about the staff suggestions for allocations before they have the meeting to vote on it, but there was so much business for them for these next 2 weeks that they're having a meeting tonight and a meeting on May 28th, so they won't vote on. You've told them, and I'll share with them your recommendation about the application to them for within their early childhood and collaboration with DD Board priority. Tell them tonight. They won't do anything, take any action on it until next week. Okay. So I think they've got a lot. I mean, I don't know. It's just a lot of late audit conversations still that kind of take up a lot of time there. Otherwise, the business is approximately similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we are at board announcements and input. Just one announcement from me is that the June meeting is going to be canceled. So our next meeting will be on July 16th at 9 o'clock. And that's what I have on my calendar.
Uh-oh.
Is that wrong?
I don't know.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
apologies. I thought it was later in July, but let's check.
Okay.
I have the schedule.
We can go on with other announcements if anybody has one.
July 23rd is what I have.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a good thing you.
it's a good thing.
Yeah. I'd like to, you know, not be here on the wrong day. Okay, I will fix that on my calendar for sure. It is fixed. Any other announcements?
I just want to, I think I missed it when we went through the agenda really fast, but the staff, the reports are amazing. The work that you do is amazing, and it is greatly appreciated. None of this could have been done without you. So you are very much appreciated by this county board, by agencies, by this community. So thank you.
Yeah, totally agree. All right. Thanks very much for coming. We appreciate all of you.
Recording stopped.